When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson, and it is a Friday. A week from today, Matt, we will know who
the
Steelers' first-round draft pick is, assuming they had one.
Assuming they had one. First round will be in the books, at least. Yeah, this time.
The first round,
we'll know. Yep, we will know. And couldn't be more excited, to be honest with you. A little bit of the calm before the storm here. Teams getting all their ducks in a row. All the visits are done. Hunkered down, working on their vertical boards and fighting some things out, I'm sure. And probably looking at some contractual stuff on guys they have and who are available free agents if we don't get our favorite draftee and all that good stuff. But for us, not a lot happening. You know, I mean, it's a little bit quiet.
A little quiet, but not completely quiet. The Steelers finished up their visits, and the grand total on that ended up being, this should give you a little bit of a hint here of what you know where they're looking here. Mm-hmm. 14 offensive linemen they brought in.
Wow. Did they use all 30 visits?
Well,
because the locals in that neighborhood.
They had 34 players in.
Okay, so I'm going to say close to half were linemen, offensive linemen.
So 14 offensive linemen, 7 defensive backs, 6 wide receivers, 6 defensive linemen, and 2 linebackers.
Crazy, yeah. I still don't quite understand the linebacker situation. Maybe that.
I think it's one of those things where, okay, if this guy's still there in their second, we feel like they're second round guys. If they're still there in the third round, okay, they'd be best available.
Couldn't believe
we take
it.
Them.
Yeah. And. Who were the? It was Colson and who?
It was Colson and Peyton.
From NC State.
Yeah.
See, he might be medical too. Yeah. You know, like we want to get a real clean medical grade on him. That would add up. Maybe it's somewhat of a smokescreen too. You know, trying to tell. You know, I don't think much of these visits are smokescreens. To be very honest, they're pretty much laying it out what they're going to do. Linebacker to me just didn't quite add up, but they're probably their top two guys on the board or two of their top three.
Two of the top three.
Yeah.
Just to bring him in. Hey, look, we're not going to bring Cooper in because there's no way he's going to be there in round three. But if one of these two guys was there in round three and there was nobody, you know, that we had graded similarly, then you take him.
Or somehow you're trading down and you have extra picks that you didn't expect and that type of thing. Like, I bet they have really good grades on those two.
Yeah.
You know, is the bottom line.
Yeah, so, I think you can also expect that they'll spend either 4 picks on defense and 3 on offense or vice versa.
Yeah,
much been their norm with the exception of the 2022 draft when they used a they took 2 quarterbacks.
Oh, that kind of skewed
it because that made it 5-2 instead of 4-3.
Which is a little bit of a throwaway on that last pick. So, okay, I hadn't thought of that. But, no, I think you're right. I mean, I think that maybe there's 2 O-linemen drafted. Maybe there's 2 wide receivers drafted. But the other stuff on offense might not get touched.
Yeah.
You know? And D-line could get a pick. Safety, edge, linebacker, maybe one of them happens to get drafted. But I definitely think a corner is going to go.
Yeah. Know? So. Definitely need a nickel corner. You definitely need.
I think D-line's.
D-line you could use.
60%
sure.
chance to get one. You know, right. But there's enough spots there that you could get the 3 or 4 pretty easy on defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is something that happens. And then there's this. And we've talked about a little bit about this. And first of all, Daniel Jeremiah did a chat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Earlier this week.
Listening to him.
And he was talking about the kickoff rule and how that's going to affect things. And he said, I was talking to a GM the other day, and he was going through the process of pulling returns on guys from their freshman year.
Wow.
It was like the stuff we used to do in the scouting that you really had to do over, you haven't had to do over the last few years because the return game has diminished.
Mm-hmm.
Now he said, now you get, if you have two guys who are close, well, this one was a kick returner 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So he's got a little extra value, so take him.
Yeah. I also wonder, the style of kickoffs are going to change. You're a golfer, I'm not. But it used to be, get the driver out, blast it into the seats. You know, I mean, now it might be a five iron that hangs in the air for a long time so I can land it in the zone. Do I want a little bit more punt returner skills where I'm catching it, you know, looking up in the sky as opposed to catching it on the run almost, you know, so it might a smaller punt returner type be even more attractive. But I think anyone with the return skills are real happy about the change in rules.
Well, here's what Bill Belichick
He did something about this.
He was on the Pat McAfee show, and he agreed with me on this.
Really?
Because immediately when that rule was passed, I said, you're going to see bigger bodies.
Yes,
On
I remember talking about it at the owners' meeting, right?
Yeah. He said, Belichick, there will be more of an emphasis on the size of players in the return game than speed.
Okay.
You just need guys who can play at the point of attack, shed blocks, and defend their space because of the new alignment. So I think it will increase the size of players that are on the field, and I do think that because everybody is spread across the field, if these returners, if they get a little bit of space, they're gone.
Okay. So they're going to be slower, too. You know, maybe is what he's saying. They're bigger. I think you're going to see a bunch of tight ends.
Tight ends,
edge
linebackers.
Rushers, linebackers.
So you could see an emphasis on that, particularly in the later rounds in this draft.
Yeah, yeah, more so.
Some of those guys, you look at it and go, why is that guy going here?
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at him as a return, you know, as somebody who's going to go out there and play on special teams.
Yeah.
He's going to be the wedge, or he's, you know.
Yeah, has changed for sure. Yeah, I don't think you want to get too heavy, as Belichick mentioned, because that guy gets greased.
Better be athletes.
Forget about it, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I wonder, all of a sudden, Danny Smith and every other special teams coach probably has a somewhat outline of what they're looking for.
Yeah.
We got these positions filled. We got these positions filled. But I don't know what quite to do with this one yet because I haven't done it. You know, I mean, I'd like to practice it a little bit more to be like, man, I wish we had that in the box strong safety type that we don't have on the roster.
Give me a tight end He's raw, but he's 6'5 or 6'4, and he's
Raymond.
He's 245 pounds, and boy, he'd look good, you know,
as a wedge buster or being the wedge guy,
or being the guy that fast enough that you know he can lead the blocker, almost like a lead blocker. Because this is what it's going to be like. Because really, all you're doing here is setting a line of scrimmage, and these guys are 10 yards apart from each other.
Yeah, I'm also wondering if like the Miles Boykins of the world that can run. Maybe play more defense and offense on kickoff return.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they at least aren't slow. They're physical, you know, those type of guys. Mac Hollins and those big-bodied receivers.
If you remember, I mean, the Steelers used Orpheus Roy in that way.
Yeah,
Brett Kiesel. They even used Chucky Okobie out there.
Yeah, I remember that, right.
In, so they've had a history, but not recently because, you can't do wedges anymore.
You think, like, Liao might be out there? Trying to think some of their faster, younger.
I think, you know, anybody that you draft here this year might be in, you know, that might be part of what they do.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly if I'm a returner, I'm thrilled about it, though. You know, if I have there's five scat back types or undersized receivers or whatever, and I'm the only one that has return stuff on my resume, that's a big perk.
And depending on who the return guy is for the opposing team, might help determine who you put out there on your kick coverage.
Yeah, maybe. Boy, they're going to have like LeGarrette Blunt return kicks.
Yeah.
Well, okay. He's going to be a lot different.
Some big dudes.
He's going to be a lot different than, you know, a 4-3 receiver. You know, I just need to get a hand on, you know. No, that is interesting. The more I think about this rule, and it hasn't been long, and I don't give it a ton of thought, but the fact that it's added more strategy, I think, is great. You know, just blasting it out of the end zone wasn't very watchable, and there's no strategy involved or team building stuff.
Yeah, especially I never understood why teams would do that in preseason games.
That made me insane.
Like why are you kicking the ball out of the end zone in a preseason game? You know your kicker can do it,
right?
Why don't you want to see what your return guys can do?
Yeah, and your kickoff team.
Yeah.
I mean, please give me as many reps as I can. I don't want to tackle my own guys in Latrobe. I want to tackle the Panthers in week one of the preseason or whatever. Right?
That never made any sense to me.
Boggled my mind.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want my returners fair catching very often either. I don't want them getting killed. But
Well, in that case, you know, if you're, let's say you're the number three return guy, you're only going to get like two or three chances
I'm
here.
I'm not fair catching.
I'm not fair catching. I'm bringing it out.
If I get my head knocked off, I'm still, this is my only chance, yeah.
I got to do something to make the roster.
Mm-hmm. And that's same as the Gunners and all those guys. I only get so many reps and you kicked it out of the end zone. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I was first guy down, but yeah.
Yeah. So
it will change things a little bit.
Yeah. I think we're pretty locked in, and everybody is, on what the Steelers are going to do with those premium picks.
Mm-hmm.
Those picks at 178, 195, if like you might get a little more specific and
might
maybe
be Mark Robinson ish.
Yeah, they might why'd they take that big strong safety that he can't cover anybody but he can run? Well, that's
maybe
why
he looks just like Killebrew.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like let's get groomed the next Killebrew.
Yeah, why
too, right?
Why'd you take that a fifth tight end or a sixth tight end? Why are you taking that guy? Well, he might.
You know who's really interesting? The more I think about it, is the safety from Utah, Vaikai.
Yeah.
Because he was the running. I mean, he'd do them all.
Yeah,
the big safety. He's fast. He's raw as a safety. But he might be your kickoff returner, too. I mean, he's a good back. He can catch the ball. Maybe his value went up a round.
Yeah. Well, you got Cordell Patterson as well. But I wonder, too.
No, I'm not even talking for the Steelers. I just mean he might go
for
higher.
Team,
for, yeah.
I wonder how many teams put two guys back now, too.
You're allowed, right?
You're allowed.
You have two in the zone.
Yeah.
What's the purpose, though?
Because
you have one of, like, as a Kreider blocker? Or
I,
you want to not take away from someone?
I think there's some of that. I think, you know, I think it's...
You think they're both going to be returner capable, though?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I put Patterson and player two back there, I'm kicking player two.
Okay, but here's what I was tooling around on the internet the other night, mm-hmm. and I saw Antonio Brown's first career touch in the NFL.
Okay. Was it a punt return?
No, it was kickoff return.
Okay.
That ball was not kicked to him.
Oh, really?
The kick was to him.
Is this preseason, I assume?
Everything, yeah. No, this is regular season.
Oh, first ever touch. Okay.
Yeah. Everything flows to the left. They're down in Nashville playing the Titans. Everything flows to the left. Brown starts to come with he's on the right hash.
Okay.
He starts to come over with the return guy. I can't remember who it was who had caught the ball. And this was a set play.
Mm-hmm.
But they did this, came over, handed him the football. Brown takes off the other way. He's down the sideline.
As the whole flow goes the other way.
As the whole flow goes
like
the other way.
Kind of like a reverse almost. Yeah. Okay. No, I do think there'll be some trick stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I could see some of that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I want, if I have two guys back, do I want a Kreider that only blocks, you know, that's
right.
A neck roll guy? Probably not.
Here's the beauty of it. You've got, even if it, because the kicker is way back there, and he can't cross the 50.
Ever.
Ever.
Okay.
He can't cross the 50. So really, you're playing 11 on 10
mm-hmm.
offensively. So even if you
can block you get every guy blocked.
Yeah, even if you put a second guy back there, you can still get pretty much everybody blocked.
Mm-hmm.
Or you say to the return guys, you got to make one guy miss.
One guy miss, or the unblocked guys running down the left sideline and the kickoffs to the right or whatever. You know, he's not going to get you anyway. Right. I can see some big returns, the more I think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that kicker, I almost feel for him that he can't pass the 50 because he's going to be standing there flat-footed
and
with, like,
be
five guys running at him. Like, ah, you know, just run away and dive at their legs or whatever. He's not going to have a chance. I mean, it's going to be like AB with a lead blocker coming at
kicking Spencer Lanning in the face.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like, he's not going to do anything.
Yeah. So, I just think maybe you might want two of those guys back there.
And it might be so valuable that if Patterson gets hurt, I need a decent backup there.
Yeah, you can't just throw anybody out
there. Right, it can't just be, hey, Najee, you're doing it this week. Like, I've never done it before. Right, yeah, there might be some value there.
Yeah.
Maybe the McFarlands of the world's like, man, I could have used that the last few years. You know?
It'll just be interesting to me to see how many teams do put that kind of forethought into this new, because it's only a one-year rule.
It's a good point, too. It might be like, this isn't going to stick.
I'm
not going to invest in it this year. But we've talked about this a lot. Sixth and seventh rounds of this draft seem particularly bad.
Yeah.
If I can find a core special teamer with that pick, that's better than a lot of people's sixth and seventh round picks lately. I mean, they could get 4 years out of them or 10 years in the league is just doing that. It's not bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And not all teams do that.
No.
There aren't a lot of teams. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Like, will the Patriots still do that? Because
they used to keep
four or five core special teamers every year.
Mm-hmm. Baltimore will.
Yeah.
I mean, Pittsburgh's pretty much high on the list in terms of keeping guys because of teams first.
Yeah. Yeah,
people don't realize that around here as much as they should.
Yeah.
Like, who are your core special teamers, you know?
Right. That does matter every year.
Like, a guy like James Pierre might not have thought he did a whole lot around here, but he did a lot of kickoff and punt work and all that kind of
Miles
stuff.
Miles Boykin.
And, yeah, right, right. Those guys aren't on the roster right now.
Yeah.
Those two, you know?
So, yeah, I just thought that was
an interesting way of looking at it.
That maybe, you know.
And definitely priority free agents in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, you might pay a little bit more signing bonus for running back that can return and maybe even run down on kickoffs too, or those type of players, those positions might get some a little extra something.
I wonder if there's even guys out there that were basically core special teams players throughout their college career.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Like, at Alabama, you might be.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, those some
or
of those
Georgia
schools.
Or some kid
right.
Wasn't good enough to break into the lineup, but man, he was a hellacious special teams player for 3 years at Georgia.
Because usually that guy would start at, you know, wherever, most schools,
you
know, athletically and all that. But there probably are. Or rotational linebacker or something like that, you know, that can't quite beat out the first round pick, but he's a really good player and he's their best special teamer, you know, special teams captains. I'd look at that. Who are special teams captains?
Yeah.
You know, and at least bring him to camp.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's get to a break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson, and this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. We're a week out, or less than a week out, from the start of the draft, and Matt, Chad Reuter on NFL.com has updated his seven-round mock draft.
Okay.
So I wanted to take a look at that here, and he's got a ton of trades.
Does he really? That'll be fun. Something to look at from different perspectives.
So Caleb Williams at one. No surprise there. Jaden Daniels at two, although there's starting to be some smoke screens, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was getting pretty close to being a done deal. At least Vegas odds are telling you.
Actually, no. They've reopened.
Really?
They've changed, and now May is even with them again.
Really?
Yeah.
To go two.
Okay. So
I didn't know that. As of Monday, last time we were here.
That all happened
yesterday. Yeah, last
yesterday.
Time we talked about this. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now Drake May is three to the Patriots. Then you got J.J. McCarthy, four to the Giants. That's a projected trade.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Like, if I'm the Cardinals at four, I'd much rather go to six than talk to the Vikes.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get one of the receivers then.
At five, the Chargers go Marvin Harrison.
Okay.
The Cardinals at six go Adunze.
Okay.
At seven, the Titans go Joe Alt.
Got it.
At eight, the Falcons go Quinyon Mitchell.
I don't think that's insane. I've been hearing Quinyon Mitchell and Byron Murphy could be in play at that spot. Now, I'd love to trade back if I were them to 11, get one of those guys or Turner or whoever. But I've said a million times, I don't want to be the team that takes the first defensive player off the board. But Mitchell's pretty good.
Yeah.
And Terrell's a free agent next year, by the way, too. I didn't think of that.
At nine, we have another trade. The Colts come up to take Brock Bowers.
So Neighbors didn't get picked yet?
Neighbors has not been picked yet.
Okay. I mean, I could see the Colts loving Bowers. I mean,
yeah.
They
want to go up ahead of the Jets to make sure they get him.
Okay. I just can't imagine Neighbors not going to the top nine.
At 10, the Jets take J.C. Latham.
That would work. He could be a guard for a year and be a heck of a guard.
At 11, the Vikings take Bo Nix.
Wow. I would not be kind to them if that's what they did.
At 12, the Broncos take Dallas Turner. Malik Neighbors has still not gone.
Okay, come on. All right.
At 13, the Raiders take Malik Neighbors.
I think they would.
Yes, I believe.
I mean, that's not even really a need, but I think if 12 guys are off the board and he's still there, he wouldn't last much longer.
At 14, the Saints take Talisi Fuaga.
I think that absolutely fits. I just don't know what Ramchek's situation is. I think they could go. Left tackle's a problem. Penning has been bad. He's a flat-out bust. And Ramchek has a lot of medical stuff. So I just don't know if they're happy to go left or right, or does it only have to be left? So
yeah, I don't know. At 15, after trading down, the Bears take Byron Murphy.
That'd be great for them. I think that's about the neighborhood, yeah.
Yeah. The Eagles then trade up at 16 with the Seahawks to take Jared Verse.
I don't think he's their type, to be very honest with you. He's not a speedball. A lot of their edges are speedballs.
At 17, the Jaguars take Terrion Arnold.
Their second corner situation's worse than you think.
Yeah. At 18, the Bengals take Brian Thomas.
Okay. If that would be true, do you think they would entertain draft day offers for Higgins?
No.
You just think they?
I don't think they would.
The style of their organization, they're not real.
They're not. That's so just not what they do.
What they do. Right, right, right. Not what they're not going to trade up either, you know.
At 19, the Chiefs trade up with the Rams to come get Xavier Worthy.
I don't think you'd have to trade up that far.
I think that's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. We never talk about him. I think he's a much better player than these speed-only guys. You know, like the list of all the guys at the combine that ran super fast.
That's all fine, but he's still 165 pounds.
I would never trade up for this. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like, but he'd be like my receiver 7, something like that. Like, I don't think he's a speed guy only. I think he's going to go in the first round, and I think he's going to get overdrafted. But I do think he's a better football player than everybody that ran fast at the combine that stinks. You know, like
I would feel a lot better about him if he weighed 175, 180 pounds.
Me too. But I do think that that was my – I killed Devontae Smith for that. I killed Jordan Addison for that. The league's a little kinder to those guys than it used to be. And he'd be a great fit for them, but no way am I giving up what it would take to go from 32 to 18 for Worthy.
No.
No.
That means at 20, the Steelers take Troy Fatanu.
Sign me up.
Yep.
Yep, sign me up.
Passing on Fashanu.
I get it.
Which I would.
I mean, both of them are left tackles. I mean, we all assume Fontenot can easily switch over to the right. I mean, I think we take a lot of that stuff in the O-line world for granted. You know,
just like Fashanu better than
Fashanu. Me too,
I think he's a better player.
He would be my pick of between the two, but I would ask him to play right.
Yeah.
What if you took Fashanu? Would you ask him to play right? I don't think.
You would talk about baby hands.
I know.
His hands are smaller than Kenny Pickett's.
I know. It's not even close. Yeah.
He has to look like Deadpool after he gets like in the scene where his hands growing back. Like, that's what he has to, like.
It's odd.
He's like 6'8 with 8.5-inch hands.
And his good arm length and all that stuff. We were actually talking about that on today's podcast, and it's like, well, how much does that matter? I'm like, well, to me, that's almost
hand
like.
Hand usage with the offensive lineman is
like
huge.
I equate it to like a racer. How much tire can I have on the surface? You know, like, who am I, you know, really at your base? And everyone's read the scouting reports of when J.C. Latham gets his hands on you, it's over. But when he gets his hands on you, it's not over.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have the grip strength, the power, you know, at the point where you're making contact with your opponent.
He's not G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip.
No. But I like just about everything else about him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, I would take him at 20, but yeah.
Not over Fashanu.
No, I would not.
At 22, the Seahawks, after trading down, take Graham Barton.
They're probably pretty happy about that.
Yeah. Then at 23, the Vikings take Leitu. At 24, this is a shocker, the Cowboys take Junior Colson.
Wow. I forget who I was listening to that thinks Colson has a really good chance to be the first linebacker now. Because I guess his interviews have gone tremendous, super smart, leader of a complex NFL-style defense. The other thing I've heard about the Cowboys a lot, too, is Worthy might not get past them.
Well, that's true.
I could see that. I mean, Texas guy, you know.
Yeah. At 25, the 49ers trade up and take Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Fits. I mean, they're more of a man team.
26, the Buccaneers
take him over DeJean.
Chop Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
27, the Cardinals take Cooper DeJean. 28, the Bills take Marshawn Nyland.
He's getting so much first-round buzz. I was looking at him, and I know he's not going to be a Steeler, but he's kind of like a Bud Dupree that's not quite as explosive. I mean, he runs past a quarterback. He's got mostly just a bull rush against Mac guys. I don't understand the first-round buzz for him. I see some stiffness. The most sacks he's ever had in a year is 4.5.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I know he's tough and, you know, physical and looks the part, but that's not a first-round player to me.
At 29, the Lions take Darius Robinson.
That's a first-round
player. That's first-round
player. Yeah, I mean, I would take him way ahead of Nealon.
30, the Ravens take Tyler Guyton.
I could see that. They could use the project tackle, play Macari there for a year or whatever.
31. The Packers, after trading down, take Roger Rosengarten.
Is that come on taking him ahead of Mims?
No.
I mean,
Mims are still there.
Yeah, right.
32. The Rams take Nate Wiggins. That's what they're trading.
That works out really well for you.
Moving on to round number two. We'll just go through some of the
highlights.
Mims going here. Jeez. Michael Penix goes 2. Mims goes at 34 to the Patriots.
I could believe it, but that's pretty far-fetched to me.
Jerzon Newton at 35 to the Cardinals. The Steelers wind up with Jackson Powers Johnson.
I don't think that's insane.
A lot of people right now are screaming at their radio. He's not going to be there in the second round.
I don't know that it's... I mean, I wouldn't bet that he makes it. Don't get me wrong.
No, I think it's like a 20% chance.
Yeah. But you read a lot of stuff that, you know, there could be some injury stuff. He's a big personality, I guess is one way people put it, that he's... You know, and he's not a perfect center prospect.
Let's put it this way. Frazier still hadn't gone yet.
Really?
So.
I mean, if this is as deep a center draft as most people think it is, and there's only three or four teams that need centers, and one of them's a team like Carolina that needs everything else.
Frazier goes at 69 to the Chargers.
Okay, I think he'll go well before that, though. I mean, but.
Center only.
Center only. That's a problem for him.
Yeah. In the third round, the Steelers get at 84. Keon Coleman.
I'd take that for sure right now.
Absolutely. Like, his first three picks, I'd sign me up.
You get the two linemen and Coleman, yeah. Oh, yeah, I do that in a heartbeat. They're all home runs.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure any of the three will be there.
I don't know if that'll be the case.
But, right, yeah.
Okay, he lost me here. He goes, at 98, he has him taking Jeremiah Trotter.
I think he'd be a plug-and-play starter with Queen, but...
I don't know that I need that.
Yeah, I'm not big on that move.
In the fourth round, the Steelers, T'Vondre Sweat, the first pick of the fourth round, by the way. Let's see here. At 119, the Steelers take Renardo Green.
Okay. Did a little homework on him, too.
We've done him.
Jones is their slot. Green has not done much slot, even though he's kind of built like it. So it's a bit of a projection, but they had a really good slot corner, so he didn't have to. But they play a lot of man, which is rare.
Which is what you want,
those Florida State guys are intriguing to me.
At 178, the Steelers get Jalen Simpson from Auburn.
Okay. Throw two guys at the problem in the mid-rounds. I don't dislike that, especially going as heavy offensively as they did.
And then at 195, the Steelers take Marcus Harris, defensive tackle from Auburn.
I don't know a ton about him. But
Big, high-energy guy.
Is he? Like, okay. Yeah. I mean, he'd be in the mix.
It's like 6'2", 295.
Okay. I'd take that draft. I don't love the Trotter pick, but I'd take that draft.
Yeah.
Trotter would play.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Trotter would probably be a starter unless, depending on some injury stuff.
And also play a lot of special teams for you, which we just talked about in the previous
segment. Yeah, he'd be perfect for that, even if he's not a speed demon. But I think he'll last in this league. But those top three picks are home runs.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Steeler fans would.
Yeah, that'd work well. Keon Coleman would fit in well. Powers Johnson in the second round's phenomenal. And I like the two DBs. I mean, they're fine for what you paid for them.
Absolutely. And, you know, getting Fashanu in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Again, sign me up for that right now.
Yeah. And all these guys have some projection to them. I think he'd be fine at right tackle. He might be like, I hate right tackle. I don't know. You know, I mean, we don't know those things.
Yeah.
But he's in for a visit and they
comes
know
in,
it.
They say, he says, you know, I am just so much more comfortable at left tackle than I am right. Okay, well, we know Broderick can play right tackle.
Yeah. It's like, okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Right, doesn't mean we won't take you or
maybe
will.
And maybe you try them both at the spots. You say, okay, which one looks better?
Mm-hmm. Get our best five out there. The Rosengarten-Fontenot thing to me is kind of odd because a lot of people are even saying Rosengarten should play left and the Fontenot should play right. And I'm like, just because their quarterback was lefty, it's not a blindside, you know, Fontenot and Rosengarten wouldn't play any different.
Right.
Keep them where they're at, best case scenario. It doesn't mean you can't switch them, but just because he was Penix's blindside protector doesn't mean he should be Mahomes' blindside protector. You know?
Right.
You know, why move him if you don't have to?
Yeah, he's used to coming out of that stance.
Right, he's done the same routine.
You can make him wipe his butt backwards.
Exactly. It makes no sense to me. You know, Fontenot's a little different because left tackles are harder to find. You know, I mean, I don't know. Keep them where they're at if you can, but a lot of times you can't.
No, absolutely not. But that was Chad Reuter's seven-round mock draft. And
I'd take it. There were some odd stuff there. Yeah.
There was some strange stuff there.
There was some strange stuff there.
His stuff usually is. Yeah, Mims lasting to two. I keep getting asked about Mims.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are Steelers going to take Mims? They really seem to like Mims. I'm like, they really seem to like a lot of these guys.
Yeah, I'm saying that they like him more than the others.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see them. I could see him being a Steeler. I mean, it wouldn't blow me away at all. It wouldn't shock me.
But, you know, he had the tightrope
surgery. Yeah.
Last year after, what, seven games or six games?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know, Matt. He scares me with the injury stuff.
I think he's the highest variance player in the whole draft. I mean, he could be the best right tackle in the league, or he could be out of the league in 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I really believe that's that big.
And we've seen some of that with, I mean, some of these Georgia and Alabama offensive linemen.
The Bama linemen are awful.
Oof.
And, I mean.
Well, Georgia had Isaiah Wilson, who might be the biggest draft bust ever. In the last 10 years.
His was all off the field, though. Like, I think he got in trouble, didn't like the game. Like, he had all kinds of stuff. But doesn't mean, can't lump them all together. I mean,
yeah.
Broderick looks fine. But no, I mean, those guys get beat up, too.
I mean,
some of those linemen, especially for Bama, but Georgia has the same program. It's hard to get on the field, and you get beat up, and sometimes you don't last as long.
And they max you out.
They max you out, there, and you win national titles, and you play a lot of college games, but you get beat up.
Yeah. So, I don't know. He just I get it. I see the upside potential and everything mm-hmm. with him. I just don't know that injury stuff bothers me. It bothers me.
Oh, yeah.
And the lack of playing time.
Yeah, lack of tape to evaluate. One thing I will say about him that I think Broderick Jones did a fair amount last year, too, is they're so talented that even in the NFL, their technique could be a work in progress, and they'll still get their guy blocked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, some of these, like, third-round guys, I mean, Mims looks like nobody else in the draft. Like, he could be sort of right and keep the, you know, and still be able to be out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If he can stay out there.
I think his interviews had to be huge as well.
That'd be huge.
Huge.
Because you wonder, I mean, I don't know. Does he love the game?
When you miss that many games that, do you love the game?
Do you love the game? Is it super important
to you?
Are
you just playing because you're big?
Because it's easier for you than most people.
Yeah, and you can make a lot of money.
You need to find that out.
Yeah.
You need to find that out. And if I knew that answer, it'd be much easier for me to say, oh, I'll take him at 20.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, right.
If I had a better handle on that, I would feel a lot more comfortable with him. Or maybe not so much.
And if they do take him at 20, I bet they have already checked that box.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. Of course.
Yeah.
One of the tough things for us.
I do think the Steelers have gotten burned by that in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, every team does, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. You can't judge what's in somebody's
mm-hmm.
heart.
And Georgia's tough. I mean, it's such a good school. Jones didn't have a lot of playing time either. I mean, like, there's always an NFL guy ahead of you. It's like
but
when the U
had
was
a
U.
He had a full season.
He had way more,
yeah.
Of course, but right.
Yeah, he had, like, twice as many games.
Oh, yeah. But still, he was considered raw
He had 15. Well, he did have 20. He had 15 career starts.
Was it 15?
Yeah. And Mims has 8.
I didn't think it was that many.
And he didn't even finish. He didn't finish
some
four
of them.
Were,
yeah, right. And then they get
8
up,
starts, but he didn't finish 4 of them.
And a school like that, too, sometimes you're winning by 30, and it's like,
you're out of the game.
Get them out
anyways,
get the freshman in.
Or if they leave you in there, you're just like, we're just running
this
the ball.
This isn't important.
Yeah.
I'm just going to mash a guy in front of me. Right. It's the tough eval.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyways, let's get to another break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back to finish up hour number one right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Steeler fans, you can gear up with the latest sideline apparel, hats, or jerseys of your favorite players, authentic memorabilia, custom items, and exclusives you can only find directly from the team at one of the official Steelers Pro Shops. They're located at Eckersure Stadium, Grove City Premium Outlets, or Tanger Outlets. Or visit online at shop.steelers.com. And Matt, Bucky Brooks, who earlier this week we did his top five at each position.
Yeah, yeah.
He has come up with a list here of guys who he thinks will be all pros.
Oh, wow.
Pro Bowl players and otherwise surefire starters in this upcoming draft.
So I always get a kick out of this time of year. You know, like, I'll just pick someone randomly, like J.C. Latham. Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, great run blocker, you know, mashes everybody. Yeah, but now he gets to go against Watt and Garrett and Crosby. You know, like, becoming a really good prospect into a starter, into a All-Pro.
Yeah, All-Pro is a big thing.
Everyone looks at these first rounders like, oh, he'll be an All-Pro. He's a Pro Bowl type guy, or you know.
There are two All-Pro teams: first team and second team.
Yeah, that's it.
And so when his first guy on here is Caleb Williams. So you're telling me that Caleb Williams is going to be a first or second team All-Pro. He's going to be Patrick Mahomes.
Right. I mean, check that one.
Yeah.
So he's beaten out Allen, Burrow, Lamar, Herbert, on and on and on and on and on. Yeah, like, that's saying a lot.
I find that very hard to believe.
Right.
Because I don't think he's that good of a prospect.
You know, like, would you bet... I think I know the answer, but in his career, will he ever be an All-Pro? The probably smart bet is no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably like 50 money. I'm just saying
quarterback, there's only two.
Even money. And there's going to be three more in his draft class he's competing with that are new.
And three more next year and three more after that.
Right. And Allen and Mahomes aren't going away anytime soon.
You're one of 32.
Right. Yeah. And then there's going to be the fluky year that – Kirk Cousins lights the world on fire and throws 50 touchdowns and has a career year. Matt Ryan's
it's like
year,
when
won
people
MVP,
talk about, well, you know, Ben Roethlisberger never got a single MVP vote. Russell Wilson never got a single MVP because you only give one.
You only give one vote. I mean, I wonder how many players in the history of the NFL have gotten MVP votes. It's a low list.
It's not as many as you think.
Right.
Here's Marvin Harrison on there.
And some of them have a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze.
I actually think all those are fine. I mean, wide receiver's tough. I know there's four of them. We could do the exact same thing we did at quarterback and list unbelievable players at that position. But I would bet yes on all three of them. And two of the three might hit in my bet, you know.
And Brock Bowers.
Could be. I mean, Kelsey's not going to last forever. Kittle's not going to last forever.
Yeah, but there's a huge influx of really good receiving tight ends last year.
Kincaid,
yeah.
You know, like this could be Kincaid's year with Diggs not around. I'm not throwing dirt on Kyle Pitts yet either.
No.
Yeah.
No. Better quarterback this year.
Yeah. It's a make or break year, but he could make.
Pro Bowlers. Joe Alt.
Tackle, I would say, is probably easier.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Trent Williams isn't going to be there much longer, and some incumbents.
Talisi Fuaga.
After Alt, I would bet no, but I love this class. I mean, this is just a high praise, you know?
Leitu.
Yeah. I mean, I would lump all those guys together.
Quinny Mitchell.
Oh, okay. No, I thought we were talking tackles. I'm sorry.
No. Then you have Mitchell.
Corner's an easier one. I mean, Leitu's a really good prospect. Is he better than Brian Burns?
Right.
And Burns is the eighth best edge guy in the league. I mean, you got to beat out Watt, Garrett, Crosby, Parsons, and Bosa. You know, that's not easy.
Right.
And whoever comes out next year, that's a third pick of the draft.
Same thing with next guy on here, Byron Murphy. Like, there's like
at 10, least Aaron Donald retired.
Like 10 defensive tackles in the league who are great.
If Byron, okay, put it this way. Let's say Byron Murphy or Leitu is really, really good their rookie year. They're the defensive rookie of the year. Like Will Anderson. Will Anderson was defensive rookie of the year.
Wasn't a Pro Bowler.
Not close. not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, got zero votes probably as a Pro Bowl edge. That's tough.
Cooper DeJean?
No.
Now, see, I can see DeJean making it because he intercepts the football. Guys who get interceptions make Pro Bowls.
Especially, well, one thing about him is if he could get listed as a safety for the Pro Bowl ballot, his odds went up dramatically. Corners also really vary year to year, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Aaron Donald's going to be tough to beat every year.
You go out and pick off five passes.
You're
going to be in the hunt to make the Pro Bowl, whether you're any good or not.
Like Diggs from the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I mean, he got Pro Bowl votes that year. I think
he got MVP, or he got NFL defensive MVP votes.
Yeah. So if you do have a fluky good year, that is interesting. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Queen can't cover a bed.
Yeah.
Dallas Turner.
He'd have to really hit.
Jared Verse.
No.
Jaden Daniels.
Quarterbacks are maybe, but that's a tough road, man.
And then Peyton Wilson.
So it's my hunch is he did this by order, best chance of going. Just felt that way. You know, like the guys, because I thought he was going position by position.
Yeah.
But it felt like the guys at the top, he gives a better chance than the guys at the very end. Williams would not bend my one.
No.
I mean,
Not even close.
Not even close, right. I mean, Byron Murphy might have a better chance than Williams.
These are his red star players. And by red star players, these are the guys that he will stand up and bang the table for because they are destined to make their mark in the league despite circumstances. I don't know why they weren't listed above as some of these other guys. That would be
to give you an idea, like one thing we did in the Browns war room is every scout had a red star that you went up to the actual physical card and you kind of like put your name on, your stamp on. Like I put Charlie Fry because I was with him 3 months ago in Akron. We end up drafting Charlie Fry. He didn't end up being great, but he didn't embarrass him. He's a good kid. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so that's kind of what these guys are. I have a hunch.
Terrion Arnold.
Okay.
Michael Penix.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I mean, at a minimum, I think he'll be a really good backup for a long time and make it in this league.
Mike Sinistrel.
Another good one. Team captain, tough guy, you know.
Will Shipley is a red star guy for him.
I've done much work on him, to be honest with you. I mean, I do some fantasy stuff with running backs. But for the Steelers, there's no chance that his running backs are going to be high picks. So they've been kind of on the back burner for me.
And his last guy is Johnny Newton.
Okay. I don't know enough about him character-wise, but his tape's great.
Yeah. I think character-wise, he's solid.
I don't think there's any issues. I didn't mean it that way. I mean, he plays hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he might be a team captain, too.
Yeah, I think he is.
Okay.
So that's Bucky's All-Pros, Pro Bowlers, and Overachievers. I guess that's what his Red Star guys are his overachievers.
Okay, that can make some sense. The way I structured it was, I trust this guy. I don't think he'll be a bust, you know, as opposed to outkicking his coverage. Yeah. Pro Bowlers, they're all pros. Back to that conversation. You can't throw that around.
No.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely not. I mean, when you talk about we talk about making the top 100 list in the NFL.
Right. What is that, top 3% or 4%?
Yeah. Being an all-pro means you're basically top 50 to 60.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And there's a bunch of quarterbacks. I mean, some positions are awful.
Yeah.
I mean, guard, okay, maybe. Center, okay, maybe. I mean, there's not a Mike Webster out there that goes every time. But, man, I mean, some of these positions, you're not going to overcome who's in front of you.
No, it's just, I mean, they're just going to make it. That's just the way it goes.
One thing I do, I don't like promote it, but I mean, like, every draft class, I put a chip down. Like, if one guy in this draft class is going to go to the Hall of Fame, who would be my vote? And then this one would be Harrison Jr. You know, like, I think there's but it's still a 10% chance he goes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you better stay healthy your whole career. You better have good luck. You better have at least acceptable quarterback play. I mean, there's the Larry Fitzgeralds of the world that suffered through some really bad years, but still put up Hall of Fame type numbers even without it. But then they had the Kurt Warners that helped them. Like, you need a lot of help and a lot of luck. I mean, let alone to be a multiple Pro Bowler or All Pro. I mean, that's Hall of Fame stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it is really difficult. Like, you think about it, James Ferrier.
Great career.
Great career.
Right.
I think he was All Pro twice.
He was playing with Ray Lewis, right?
Played in the Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher.
Okay.
Era.
Did any of the Niner guys overlap with him?
Probably. Yeah.
Like Bowman and Willis.
By the end of his career, those guys were.
Maybe Keekly even. Yeah, right.
So, that, you know, there's. And they had one inside linebacker spot. So two.
Like, that's so there was one. Yeah. And he's fighting them.
That's who you're fighting against.
And so a second team is amazing honor.
What was he, second or third 1 year in NFL Defensive Player of the Year award voting? He wasn't even first team All Pro.
Yeah, that's really something. that's pretty interesting. So, yeah, I mean, if you get Pro Bowl votes, period, you're had a phenomenal year. You're a great player.
Absolutely. Let's get to another break. That's going to do it for hour number one of the drive
the
here
books.
On Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with hour number two right after this.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.